sums it all up. Arsenal, the cream of the crop.
Welcome to the 66th edition of the Gouda podcast, recorded on the Monday evening after Arsenal's 0-0 home draw with Sunderland and the night before Arsenal's inevitable 4-1 defeat in the Camp Nou against Barcelona. This podcast is sponsored by the website for all your unofficial Arsenal t-shirt needs, GunaShirts.com. I'm your returning host, David Udoh, and the first thing to announce is that after our last podcast, the panel members responsible have been issued with a one-month ban. Meanwhile, the host that failed so abysmally to contain them has been relegated to panel duties. So, to introduce this evening's panel, first up, the founder of the Gooner and its original editor, the man who kindly funds the spending on Chinese food and alcohol that led to last month's fiasco, it's Mr. Mike Francis.
Hello.
Next up, our devoted host, he of the David Essex haircut and the even longer memory, returned this very afternoon from exotic climes, it's Mr. Joe Broadfoot.
Hello, listeners.
And last, but by no means least, a guest from the not-too-distant past, any panellist that wears knee-length stiletto boots is almost guaranteed to be welcomed back with open arms. It's Gunner Talk's very own Miss Lindsay Sheehan.
Hello, Gooners.
Now, Lindsay, I checked the YouTube this afternoon on the Super Information NetWeb in my office to catch Gunner Talk's latest video and read the following. YouTube account Gunner Talk has been terminated because we have received multiple third-party notifications of copyright infringement from claimants including NetResult and the FA Premier League. Please elucidate.
Well, they're basically a bunch of wankers and won't let us use the clip, so you have to go to the website instead.
The comments of Lindsay Sheehan are not necessarily associated with that of the Gooner magazine or onlinegooner.com. Thank you, Ms. Sheehan. So, in light of the last week's event, Manchester United's 1-0 down 2-1 effort at Stamford Bridge, helped by David Luiz, their subsequent 3-1 hammering at Anfield, and Arsenal's lackadaisical 0-0 draw at home to Sunderland, what does that mean for Arsenal's title challenge, Joe Broadfoot?
Well, it's on, you might say, but I'm not that convinced. Primarily,
so you said it's on but it's off.
It's on in theory, but it's off because I haven't really got an awful lot of confidence in the defence, and I think we all know why. We're going to discuss this in another podcast more than likely, but it's the other tournaments worry me because it reflects on the league. And looking at the Sunderland game, for instance, if we're going to play Danilson and Diaby in the same team, I don't expect we're going to win a lot of points. I mean, we'll get one point here and the odd 3 points, but that's not going to be enough to win the title. We need 3 points pretty much every match, right? Because you look at United's running.
Come back to running in a minute, Joe. Yeah. Lindsay, all I'm thinking is United at the moment, they're in free fall, aren't they? You know, they don't look as though they can buy a proper goal. Aside from Rooney's wonder strike at Stamford Bridge last week, their defence is falling apart. Rio Ferdinand's back doesn't work. Surely it's onwards and upwards for the men in red and white.
Well, it's finally, they're getting a bit of the luck that we get. You know, they've had a few players missing, which all of a sudden they're not looking, I mean, thinking of them being invincible a couple of weeks ago is now looking laughable. And they're getting some injuries and the refereeing decisions finally are not going their way. So, you know, I don't want to use it's in our own hands because we know if it's in our own hands, we'll fuck it up. But it, at least now, looking at it, it actually looks like 1 point gained rather than 2 points lost at the weekend, I think.
But Mike, surely 0-0 against a team that have lost their last four games and turned up lining up essentially saying don't spank us too hard, surely that's just another example of this Arsenal team being given a huge opportunity to go forward and win and again bottling it.
Yeah, of course. I mean, like, you know, we all went into that hoping for 3 points and expecting 3 points, but there's been so many stupid results this season. I mean, we've dropped more than our fair share, but so have Man United and Chelsea, you know, and that. So we're still in there, we've still got a chance. And we just need a run of form. It's whoever's going to get 8 wins out of their last 10 games is probably going to be enough. And I think we're as likely to do that as Man United because Man United have got away with it all season. Really, they shouldn't be top. I'm not saying we should be, but no one wants to win it right now.
It kind of strikes me as the end of Rocky 2, where Rocky and Apollo Creed catch each other with a right hook and fall to the floor, and it's essentially which punch-drunk old fart can scramble to their feet before the referee counts 10 who wins the World Heavyweight Championship by default. Joe, having a look at the remaining fixtures, having a quick scan, I'm looking at our run-in, I'm seeing teams like Blackburn and Blackpool and Bolton under Owen Coyle and Fulham, and, you know, I'm thinking we've got an easy run-in, haven't we?
Yeah, on paper, as they always say, and it's particularly with Arsenal, it's never there is no easy game in the Premier League. And I know it's a cliche, but it's actually true, particularly with Arsenal, because these away games, We know how we've suffered when we've gone to the northwest of England and not always got results. Although in recent times it's improved a bit, so I've got a little bit of hope there. But I think basically the problems lie with us. I mean, you look at our defence and the young players, inexperienced players, all mixed together. There's just too many inexperienced or young players. As much as I love Chesney, he's a great goalkeeper, one for the future. Is he one for this season? Is he going to be consistent for this whole running? When he's got Koscielny, also, who I think is a great player, but it's his first season in the Premier League. And who's alongside him? We've got Giroud, another player I've got a lot of confidence in. But again, how much experience has he got of playing Premier League title run-ins? I don't think he's got an awful lot of experience of that. So that's the core part of our defence. And then we've got two attacking left backs. So it's no wonder really that we can't rely on our defence. And that's the best players we've got.
Lindsay, you're chomping at the bit. You're chomping at the bit. What can I do you for?
Well, you know, saying all of that, actually, I know statistics, more lies than damn statistics, but actually, when you look at the goals conceded, we're right up there. I think Wenger is completely bang on when he said the most consistent team will win this Premier League, because none of us have been consistent. Chelsea, Arsenal, Man United, Tottenham, Liverpool, anybody. We've all had ups and downs, and I think it is there for the winning. It is going to take a lot from that personnel, and it isn't, to me, the problem isn't the talent, it's in the head. Have they got the bollocks for it? Have they got, when it comes to squeaky bum time, which it is now, isn't it? You know, have they got, showing, I know we're going to talk about it later in the Carling Cup, but have they got it to stand up and say, well, we really want this?
I think that's a very pertinent question, Mike. I mean, you look at Manchester United's two centre-halves. It's a 70-cap England captain and Nemanja Vidic, whose parents are a grizzly bear and an Easter Island statue. When you look at our flimsy Gallic centre-halves, are you worried that our guys are made of the right stuff?
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think most people would probably rather have someone like Vidic in their team than the likes of, any of our centre-backs. But, you know, that's what we've got. And to be fair, as Lindsay said, our goals against record is comparable with any other team. I mean, Wenger said early on in the season that we couldn't afford to concede more than 25 goals in the season to stand a chance to win the title. Well,
27 at the start of March.
Right off, and we've gone past that mark already. But pretty much so has everyone else. And that tells you a lot about what sort of season it is. So, whilst they're not going to say I'm confident, I've seen Arsenal for too long to ever be confident when I look at this running. But, you know, we have got a chance and, you know, let's go for it. I would say that Sunderland did knock me back a bit, because I was like, I'd looked at the next few games and I thought this was a real chance to lay down a bit of a marker. You know, 3 points home to Sunderland, away to West Brom, home to Blackburn, away to Blackpool, all winnable games. And if I thought, take 12 points from that, We would be really well placed.
Looking at the run-ins in front of me, I'm very quickly going to go around all three of you. I'm going to take a consensus as to whether we're going to win, lose, or draw. So, in a word, win, lose, or draw. West Brom away, Lindsay.
Win.
Joe.
Win.
Win.
Wow. Three panel verdict: a home win. Blackburn at home, Lindsay.
Win.
Joe.
Win.
Win.
Yep.
Blackpool away.
Win.
Win.
And win.
Fucking hell, we're on fire. Liverpool at home.
Gift us the win. Get a Man United.
Joe.
Draw.
Mike.
I'll go win.
Oh, crikey. Bloody hell, we're on fire. Arsenal unbeaten. Spurs away. Lindsay.
Oh, that's the squeaky bum one for me. Draw.
Defeat. Sorry.
We own them. I've got to go and win. I left.
Paul's panel verdict. Score draw. Bolton away.
Draw.
Yeah, draw.
Oh, crikey, it's a point. It's all falling apart. Just 2 weeks ago, we were going to win everything. Fucking Arsenal, Man United at home. The big one, Sky Super Sunday.
Let's have it, we're going to win that.
I've got it down as a defeat. If United are not are playing their best team.
Mike.
A lot will depend on the team, won't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
And the fans.
I'll edge for a win.
Oh, crikey. Yeah, I'm putting it down. Stoke. Surely, though, at this point, it's onwards and upwards. Stoke up, but Stoke away. Rory de Lapp and hoof at centre half.
I think we've turned that hoodoo win.
A draw.
We won there last year. We'll go win.
Jesus Christ Almighty! I should be drinking Budvar and Smirnoff Ice. Damn my Highland Spring. Villa at home.
Win.
And
win.
Fulham away. Oh fucking hell! And Fulham away.
Oh, that's dodgy. But I'd like to say win.
Narrow win.
Yeah.
There we go. So actually, we're
going to say anything.
You didn't have to. Yeah. You didn't have to, Mike. It's fine.
We'll win if it's crucial.
26 points between now and the end of the season. Right now, Man United, Bolton at home, Lindsay.
You've got to say they're going to win their home games, haven't you?
Shall we just put 3 points for all their home games apart from Chelsea and come to that? Right, okay, fair enough. In fact, they are playing Blackpool. West Ham away.
West Ham will be fighting for it. I can see that being an upset. Maybe a draw.
Draw.
Okay.
No, I think United will win that one.
Me too, but unfortunately consensus has it. Newcastle away.
Draw.
Yeah, I've got Man United to win that.
Depends on when it's played, doesn't it? Because that'll get moved if they beat us in the cup, which we're not talking about. But.
But Newcastle are not under a lot of pressure, are they?
Man United win.
Yeah, man. Chelsea at home.
I think they'll get beat.
Yeah, Joe? Probably a draw.
Draw.
Crikey. And Blackburn away.
Yeah, definitely.
3, 6, 9, 10, 13, 16, 19, 20. We've won the league by 3 points.
Oh,
easy.
Yeah.
We've done it. Get down Betfred right now. Arsenal in the league by 3 points. Man alive. Wenger on top of an open top bus with his arse out. Giving it this. I bloody told you, you bastards. I bloody told you. Abu Dhabi, Danielson. Hear me now, your boys together to be. But notwithstanding that, does anyone else have an outside chance? Joe, fancy anything at all for City, Chelsea in the resurgence? Or
not really.
Tottenham?
Not really. I think they've lost their opportunities. Too many points to make up now. Even though Chelsea are in a bit of a resurgence, and Liverpool as well. Well, obviously Liverpool completely out of the running. They're far too far behind.
Chelsea are the only team I can still see Chelsea stringing a run together. They're not good enough.
Petrified.
Yeah, they're not good enough. But I actually said 2 weeks ago, I said I think Chelsea were about 40-1 to win it, and it was like, you know what, that's quite tempting. And of course I didn't do it. It was stupid, but you know, and I would never bet again on Chelsea. But yeah,
do you know what the odds are now?
No, it would have come in quite a bit after, you know.
Yeah, after beating Man U.
Yeah.
We thought after yesterday, it's barely half a point between Arsenal and Man United.
Yeah. And are you in any way worried about Tottenham apart from potentially derailing our season?
No, that's the only thing I think that they're. Well, if you talk about Champions League, different story. But if you talk about the league, no, I think that'll be their cup final when we go to them away.
Yeah. I think that if we win, then it might actually also be St. Tottenham's Day as well, coinciding with the 50th anniversary of them having won the league in pounds, shillings, pence, black and white, and the 3-day week. That was the 70s one, excuse me. If, as we have all predicted, Arsenal do end up winning the league by 3 points, has Wenger proven the doubters wrong? Or are we purely the best of a bad bunch of teams this year, Mike?
In some ways, I think it's hard to say this because I think it might be the worst thing that could happen, because it would prove he would see that as vindication for everything that he's done, and I just can't believe that would be a good thing in the long run. Putting faith in players like Danielson and Diaby has frustrated me for 2 years now, and I think finally everyone else is catching up with my way of thinking. Yeah, we just need a bit of a clear out in the summer, and if we were to win the league, that ain't going to happen.
Joe, what do you think?
I agree with what Mike's saying on the fact that if we win the league, Arsene Wenger can turn around and put two fingers up. Not that he would, but he'll say, my way is the only way, and I've proved that you can win the league with a rookie in goal and some very other average keepers. And Danielson and Diaby, because those two players have never convinced me. I really want to be convinced that they're Arsenal players or of the standard that we expect, but so far I've not seen it, other than the odd game here and there. That's as good as it's got. And there's too many players in the squad like that. So if we do win the league, I won't really know what to put it down to, other than mediocrity of the other teams. And maybe some good performances from some of our players, and some of the signings as well. I just feel the balance of the team is wrong. I've really got a lot of confidence in Koscielny and Giroud as well. I think both of those two, even though he's not exactly, he's he was a signing quite a while back. But the fact remains that these two players are good, but are they good for this season? I'm not sure, but then hopefully they will be, and we'll win the league at the end of it.
If we win the league, are you going to be fearing Wenger running the length of the pitch, sliding on his knees, ripping off his button shirt to reveal an Aboué is my homeboy t-shirt, as available from Goonershirts.com? Or are you going to be running around Tottenham with your willy hanging out, singing, you know, we won the league? You're going to take it on face value and think, you know what, he's right. You know, I don't know how he's done it. He's won the league with Danielson. He's won the league with Diaby. You know, AKB, Arsene knows best.
I'm in the middle on it. I think that it would be lovely, and it would be a real stick up fingers up to people like Man City, who have spent all the money, and we're a nice club. They're nice players and they're nice lads, and you know, and all of that, the victory for the good guys. When it comes to taking Arsenal further, I have the same concerns as everybody else. I'd like to see a severe clear out in the summer, and I think it was it Lee Dixon that was saying, or it might have been Ray Parler, that when they won the league every year, Arsenal bought somebody, and it was a strong buy.
It was Dennis Bergkamp over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. God, sorry, I'm very sorry, God, for misquoting you, Lee Dixon. but you know, there is the danger that the obstinance will come back in. But, you know, yeah, it's not going to take away from me getting my willy out in Tottenham. but, you know, yes, as opposed to where we go from here, because would we win it again next year if he doesn't invest? Not a hope in hell.
No, that's fair enough. I mean, if you win the league, you win the league. Although, having said that, I'm always reminded of 2004, being locked in the Bailey on the Holloway Road after winning the league at White Hart Lane again. Me and my family getting absolutely shit-faced, all kinds of songs going on, and sitting in the corner on his own with a face like a slapped arse is my father. A lifelong Gooner, going since 1953. I remember turning to him and saying, well, what's wrong with you? We've just won the league, run beat and run read, and we're invincible. What's wrong? He goes, we might be invincible, but it'll be fucking rubbish next year. And therein lies the rub. So, with a changing tack slightly, and back onto very, very current affairs, news has travelled all the way up Gooner Towers this afternoon that Robin van Persie is a surprise inclusion in the squad that has travelled to Barcelona, hoping, of course, that Joe can get this live by tomorrow afternoon for everyone to read in their 10-minute, half-an-hour tea break at 3 o'clock. Is this the gamble of a desperate manager, or a potential masterstroke by Monsieur Wenger, Lindsay?
Well, look, you know, if you don't play Robin van Persie, you could get injured falling out of bed. The guy is made of fibreglass, isn't he? So what difference does it make if he gets injured tomorrow, or if he gets injured, you know, just walking out of the tunnel when we're going to play West Brom away? He's that kind of player. To me, it's brought out optimism. I'm quite excited about it. I don't necessarily think that progressing in the Champions League is the best thing for our Premier League campaign. However, you know, it'd be nice to put that hoodie to bed, and maybe the Carling Cup confidence that we thought we were all going to get at the day at Wembley will come from the Barcelona game instead.
What about you, Mike? You know, would you say thanks, Jim? We've had a lovely day, or do you want to see if you can get under one or more in six darts and play Robin van Persie?
I'll take the chance, definitely. I think, you know, as Lindsay said, you can't assume that he's going to be fit for the next week, next month. So playing when he's got half a chance, he could make a difference. Otherwise we're going to be playing up front with the likes of Bentner or Chamakh, and, you know, bless him.
Nicholas Bentner scored one more goal in the camp now than Ian Wright has, I tell you.
You know, I've got a lot of time for Nicholas Bentner. I know I'm in a small minority, yeah, but I think he works hard, he does a lot. Chamakh's just hopelessly off form. But if I wanted one player to have a chance inside the penalty box, I'd have Van Persie ahead of either of them every time. I think the question, though, is with Van Persie still remains is, is he a player we're going to be able to rely on, or is he someone that, you know, is a luxury that we can't have for more than 20-25 games a season?
Joe, are you prepared to gamble the rest of our Premier League season on a player who's likely only to score the first goal in a 5-1 reverse?
No way. I wouldn't play him unless he's quite close to 100% fit. I'd be like that with all players, really, because, I mean, I thought
he does tell us that this squad is brilliant and all the players can come in for each other.
Yeah, but
we all believe that, yeah.
The thing is, though, when I'm seeing guys like Diaby warming up, I'm saying, please don't get injured. I do tend to change my mind during a match when I see the sort of paucity of talent that's on the bench. Well, maybe that's a bit too harsh, but the mediocrity on the bench, it worries me. So because of that, I would, as a manager, if I was managing this current team with this small squad, I would tend to stick with these injured players probably, but it's the wrong decision because long term you're just screwing up their careers as well as everything else. So we're certainly not going to win the league if Robin Van Persie gets a long term injury or Cesc gets a long term injury, and if both of them get a long term injury, we can forget about all our predictions. We won't win the league.
Which is exactly what happened last year, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Personally, I really, really don't know what I'd do.
I love Nicholas Bentner, and I think I'm personally more worried about the fact that we'll be missing Walcott and maybe Fabregas. I'm still suffering from getting shit faced before Christmas and having a 50 quid bet with a friend of mine that not only will Nicholas Bentner win the World Player of the Year, he will do so before his 28th birthday. I think Bentner's one of those players where if you give him a run of games and you get him the best service you possibly can, he will score goals.
And play him in the right position, that always helps. If he's played down the right wing, how is that going to improve his confidence as a striker?
I actually think he's been more dangerous cutting in from the right wing sometimes.
I completely could agree with that. Yeah. He's been a revelation in that position to me. He does okay.
I'm not in the anti Nicholas Bentner camp by any means. If there is such a camp, I wouldn't want to be part of it.
Big time.
No, I think he's a young player, and I've always been told that position, the centre forward position, is the hardest position of all. But my view is, if you're going to play in that position, you need plenty of practice playing there. And playing out on the wing is all well and good, and it does improve your overall game, but it doesn't improve you that much as a striker. And I feel sorry for him that he has to do that. And you know, Van Persie, he actually plays in his correct position.
I think Bentner, the problem is with Bentner is he can play through the middle, but he needs a partner to play alongside him. But unfortunately, the way we're playing at the moment, he's not going to have that, and his touch isn't good enough, and he needs players around him to pick up the flick-ons and what have you.
Weirdly,
he works hard. He works back. He tracks back, and more than Arshavin does, I have to say.
And a run of games, he needs that too. Yeah. Because if he gets that run of games, he'll get the understanding with his teammates.
And it seems like every time he does get a run, he gets absolutely no service from his midfield. He always gets a start when we've got a shit midfield out of Diaby or Danielson, and he's getting nothing. And he's just chasing around, heading down balls. There's nobody behind him, and he looks...
And what striker is good without a supply line?
Absolutely. Regardless of what happens tomorrow night, you know, as long as we give ourselves the best chance of winning, then, you know, that's all we can ask for. And whilst I have got Bentner 52 tattooed across my back and shoulders, if Van Persie's fit, I think ultimately you have to play him. But regardless of what happens tomorrow night, and my jesting apart, I do obviously want Arsenal to win.
But can I ask you this, David?
I'm in the middle of asking a question, Joe.
I want to just interrupt, if I may. I want to ask you this. Would you have one eye on the Premier League?
No. Okay, so
that was quick.
In a word, no, not at all. Each game is the most important. Simple as that, really. Also, you know, if you're a bit strong, you know, Chelsea never changed their team at all when they were winning everything left, right, and centre. If you win, you rely on adrenaline to get you through. So, you know, just play that. Play those 14 players, win 18 games in a row, and you know, have your time off in the summer, let alone in the middle of the bloody season. Try and rest. Graham Souness in the prime of his career would have bitten your knees off, regardless of what happens in the Camp Nou tomorrow evening. Let's talk about the first leg. You know, one of those were you there moments. What were you doing when? Where were you sitting when? I think it's safe to say it was the best atmosphere at the new stadium so far, Mike.
Oh God, yeah, no, without a doubt. Apart from potentially that first five or so minutes against Man United 2 years back, but we don't talk about that one. No, I mean, for the 90 minutes, it was great, and it was great to see the crowd really get behind the team in the second half and believe that they could still pull it off, despite the fact that Barcelona had clearly been the better side for the first 65 minutes or so. And there was belief, and it proves that the crowd can lift the team sometimes. Too often we sit back and wait for the team to lift us, but you know, when we all get together and we've all got a little flag to wave, which is lovely.
Well, it's nice to be the underdog. The underdog factor, maybe that plays in our advantage. You know, to our advantage. The fans then, the expectations are not there, but the hopes are.
Lindsay, sitting club level, the champagne corks must have been popping by the 90th minute. What?
Well, I will ignore that because I nearly swallowed a prawn when we scored the second. No, I thought that was the night that the Emirates needed. I thought it came of age that night. Club level was loud, which tells you all you need to know. It is. I thought what was interesting about it were the tweets that the players were saying, and they clearly felt it from us. My behalf was watching it at home, and he said it was like when the first goal went in, you all went, "Now let's get on it," and we all just pushed them forward, and we pushed them and pushed them, and they responded. And I think the underdog factor is massive. It was the same with the Manchester United when we were waving the flags and got mugged off after 10 minutes, and threw the flags away. But that was the same thing. There was a feeling that we were behind and we needed to push. And it was quite disappointing to me that Sunderland was so flat on the weekend. I thought that game was crying out for Aaron Ramsey just to get everybody on their feet and to get us all get something going, because it is disappointing and it is a quiet stadium and we don't do our part. A lot of people have the attitude that, well, I feed off the team. But, you know, where does that get anybody? Mm. You know, that lockdown the road, or you go to lots of stadiums. I mean, Chelsea are probably quieter than us, but there are lots of stadiums. Stoke, for example, you know, they do well because they have their fans behind them, and whereas we will get behind them when we're winning.
Joe, why can't the Arsenal crowd be so encouraging on a more regular basis? Why do we need the media to tell us that it's super duper Sunday and, you know, the world will end after this game?
I think it's the expectations. It's, we've won so many trophies. I mean, we are one of the most successful clubs in England after Man U and Liverpool. So we're third most successful. And you know, if we had a nice run with this new developing team and we started winning trophy after trophy, well, it's not impossible that in our lifetimes we might be the most crowned league champions in this country. Do you think I'm going over the top now?
Yeah, I do, yeah. I always just say that I think you've got to experience the disappointment to really enjoy the good times. And I think there's too many fans in the ground that haven't experienced the disappointments because they've only come in and they've only got interested in football in the last 10, 15 years, which has been, well, certainly for the first five or six of those, would have just been constant success. And so, you know, losing the Carling Cup final to Chelsea, losing Carling Cup final to Birmingham, doesn't quite hit the mark. You need to have something, you know, mid-table finish almost. You need to Spurs.
But it was like Frank Lampard, wasn't it? He said, you know, our fans don't wait till we go 1-0 up to start getting involved in it. You know, they start from day one. You know, and it is true. We expect so much of that team. We expect to win every single home game, and we expect them to do that without our support. And it's a bit harsh.
And the worst thing is the players expect to win,
yeah,
and without trying.
Like,
well, yeah. I think they try, but they try in a different way, and they don't show the same level of motivation. Let's say
that's the difference from the invincible team. You know, they used to come out and they used to go out hammer and tongs from the first whistle. Mm. So the crowd picks up on that and would be behind them. And quite often we'd kill the game after 15 minutes. Mm. I mean, the next 75 would be quite boring for everyone just sitting there going, well, when's the final whistle going? I want to get down to the pub and celebrate this 3-0 win. But, you know, our players come out and it's all a bit, oh, we'll tippy-tappy around for the first hour. And then we go, crikey, we haven't scored yet.
And then the frustration grows.
And, you know, we saw it at Sunderland. You know, the last 20 minutes or so, we were hammering on the door.
Mm.
But, you know, why you just want to cry and go, why didn't you do that in the first 20 minutes? You could have relaxed for the last 70.
There's nothing more frustrating than watching Match of the Day and realising that Alan Hansen's making a good point. Which is, he was remarking how when he was in Liverpool teams that got to this stage of the season, he said, you go out and you do it for the first 20 minutes, half an hour, you get the 2-3-0 lead, then you have a rest for the last hour, whereas this bunch of lackadaisical, overpaid millionaire losers seem to think, well, we'll score in a minute, we'll be okay, and the next thing you know, 75 minutes gone, and it's only when we concede a goal, as shown in the Orient replay, that we decide to pick it up. It's worrying. But having said that, you know, it's a quid pro quo thing. I mean, when we were back at Highbury, I mean, I remember the players used to come out, stand on the halfway line and clap all four corners of the ground, and then the North Bank lower where I sat and the North Bank sides of the East and West Stand would in turn sing Robert Pires' song, Sol Campbell's song, Because You're So Enclosed. They'd hear and they'd clap their hands, whereas now the disparity between players and fans is probably best exemplified by the huge gap between the pitch and the stands.
Yeah, it could be the stadium factor, because as you were chatting, I was suddenly thinking, how many teams have moved to a new stadium and been really successful? And I'm struggling to think of any that have been, you know, they've had moderate success, and has the team actually won anything that's moved to a new stadium?
That's a fair question, and that is a question for next time. To conclude, The usual reminder that if you want to email us about anything related to the podcast, or in fact inform us of any clubs that have moved stadium and since had better and more salubrious years, our address is goonapodcast@gmail.com. Thanks once again to our sponsors, goonashirts.com, where you too can buy your Aboué is my homeboy t-shirt. And there's just time for our panel to bid farewell. So Mike.
Farewell.
Joe.
Tally, bye.
And Lindsay.
Bye-bye.
We'll be back with another edition of the podcast in a matter of days as we're recording another one straight after this. I'm your host, David Udo, and thank you for listening. La-di-da-di-da, la-di-da-di-dee, all good friends and jolly good company. Hey!